working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. -71 degrees. Humidity 42. Look at this wind. Southeast 5 miles an hour. That's it. I have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast with you. Let's just make sure this wind is not no wind around Elk City is a cover up. No, it's not. Actually, eastern Oklahoma has higher wind gusts than we do. So that's cool. We got, looking at all these arrows on the mesonet, there's winds from every direction in Oklahoma, but nothing major up there in Panhandle, Texas, and Oklahoma. It looks like it's a little breezy up there around Guymon and stuff. But other than that, and while I'm here, might as well check some air temperature out in our listening area. See who's rating highest. Looks like Eric, Oklahoma, and Shamrock, Texas. You are the winner, winner, chicken dinner. 75 degrees is the high right now. It's 79 in the panhandle of Oklahoma. But for our listening area, we're in the 70s for the most part. 67 at Weatherford right now. But looks like a nice day. Enjoy it, because the Long Ranger doesn't look too cool. How's that? Anyway. Got a busy day today. I feel like I'm stressed, and I don't know why I shouldn't be stressed. As soon as the show's over, I'm gonna go get the heifers in, pull cedars, give them a shot, hook onto the trailer, go visit a gentleman, pick up two bulls, bring the bulls back over, and in approximately 52 to 56 hours, the bovine love boat set sail in my pasture. So it should be interesting to watch. Anyway, so we have a good deal going on there. And let me see here. We got a text message here I need to read real quick. Don't know. Anyway, can't answer that one on the deal. Let's check out some grain prices, futures, my normal deal here at the start of the show. Looks like live cattle, feeder cattle, lean hogs are all down. Live cattle and feeder cattle are just down slightly, but lean hogs, they're taking another hit today. Yesterday they come back, and today they go backwards. Live cattle for June, 133.12. Live cattle for August, 135.50. Live cattle for October, 143. And live cattle for December, 149.47. Feeder cattle for May, 159.92. Feeder cattle for August, 175.32. Lean hogs, May, 101.80. June, 104.17. July, 107.12. They're down 2 to 3 today. Cotton's at 148.76. Let's check out the oil. Oil's up. Darn it, it's up. Gas has come back down a little bit. It's back down to closer to $8 than it is $9 now. So it's at $8.24. That's natural gas. $8.24. Crude oil's at $110.45. And that's about it for that. Let's check out the Oklahoma grain cash prices. As of an hour ago in Oklahoma, hard red winter wheat, $11.08 a bushel. Corn's at $8.13. Milo's at $7.71, and soybeans come in at a whopping $15.51 a bushel. Let's see what's going on here in the world. Soybean and grain futures were all lower in overnight trading on another round of profit taking as some investors sell contracts and liquidate positions after the recent run up in prices. Rainy weather in the United States has put soybean and corn planting behind their normal pace, and extremely dry weather in the U.S. Southern Plains has left hard red winter wheat fields parched, driving up prices. as much as 6 times the normal amount of rain has fallen in the past week from North Dakota south into northern Kansas, according to the National Weather Service's precipitation page. Excessive rain has also fallen in parts of southeastern Kansas, northeastern Oklahoma, much of Missouri, and northwest Arkansas. And if anybody's seen some of the pictures on social media on some of the news stations or people that just live over in there, we're talking that one person said they got 11 inches in 2 days over there in northeastern Oklahoma, and it was washing out roads. Rivers are flooding. Lakes are full. They got it going on over there. Not so much over here. I'm not griping about what we got the other day, but some got it, some didn't. But we need just one storm to roll through at about 10 miles an hour, dump about half inch an hour for about 10 hours, and let it soak in as it's going, and then fill the ponds up would be great. Some 8% of the U.S. soybean crops were in the ground at the start of the week. That's behind the prior five-year average at 13%. Only 14% of the corn was in the ground as of Sunday. And that's way, way behind the average of this time of the year on the five-year average, usually at 33% planted right now. It's the opposite problems in parts of southwestern Kansas, the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, and western Oklahoma, where little to no rain has fallen. And now they say 14 days, but little to no rain has really fallen in the last 4 to 5 months. But we've got some showers lately, and you know, blessed to have those. About 27% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week, unchanged from previous week, but down from 48% at this point last year. So it's half as good as what it was last year. Still, investors have backed off and seem to be taking risk off approach heading into the weekend. Soybean futures for July delivery plunged 18 cents to $16.29 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost $1.30 to $418.60 a short ton, while soybean oil futures fell 1.78 cents to 80.07 cents a pound. Corn futures were down 10 cents to $7.87.5 a bushel. Wheat for May delivery lost 10 cents to $10.96.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures declined 11 and 3 quarter cents to $11.65.25 a bushel. Corn sales, export sales of corn, were lowered in the 7 days that ended on April 28th, while wheat and bean sales rose according to the USDA. Corn sales to overseas buyers were reported at 782,500 metric tons. That's down 10% from the previous week and 19% from the prior four-week average. China was the big buyer, 465,000 tons. Colombia, 191,000 tons. Japan, 165,000 tons. Spain, 157. And Taiwan come in last place at 82,900 tons of what they bought in corn in the previous week. The total would have been higher, here we go, but a stupid unnamed country canceled cargoes of 375,500 tons. Sales for the 22-23 marketing year that starts on September 1st came in at 737,900 tons. And that's metric tons, and exports from the week jumped 22%. Wheat sales, meanwhile, jumped to 118,800 metric tons, a noticeable gain from the previous week and up 53% from the average for this time last year. Mexico, 88,000 metric tons. Philippines, 58,000 metric tons. El Salvador, 10,400. South Korea took 5,000 tons, and Colombia was in there at last place, actually, at 3,300 tons. Nigeria nicked shipments of 46,000 tons, and Guatemala canceled cargoes of 7,200 tons. For the 22-23 marketing year that starts on June 1st, sales totaled 42,400 metric tons. Exports for the week total 377,400 metric tons. It's up 53%. Well, flood warnings issued for most of the Southwest Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, according to the National Weather Service. In Southeast Missouri or Southwestern Missouri, several rivers are over their banks and minor flooding is occurring. The James River at Kalena, I've been there, was 23.7 feet this morning, well above the flood stage of 15 feet. The river will top out at 24.9, just under the record set 1985 at 25.3 feet. Showers and thunderstorms are still continuing over there in the along the Mississippi this today, so more flooding is expected in those parts of the state, eastern part of our state, Kansas, the whole works. Well, when I get back, we're going to talk about beef today. We're going to talk about farming. We're going to talk about Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes, good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Let's see here. 74 degrees. Winds are out of the east-southeast at 8 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 14 miles an hour. Humidity's dropping like a rock. It's already 38%. Well, we got lots going on. Today is Friday, the big day. I got a busy schedule after the show today. As I said earlier, going to go pull cedars and give cattle shots and go pick up bulls and bring them over to the Love Boat pasture and see what happens in the next week or 10 days. There's lots of questions. I had Greg Hartman. He came on yesterday, and we were talking about hay prices and culling cattle and where to start on culling cattle and stuff. And, you know, the rain we got was tremendously beneficial where it did go. I did go down to Willow yesterday, and I had 1.7 inches in my rain gauge, where I've been telling you guys if it hadn't rained Wednesday night, I was selling cattle. I can tell it looks like it's just going to be a Band-Aid. Yes, I got water in the ponds. It was a hard rain, but we need some more storms to back it up, and I think we got a chance next Tuesday or Wednesday, and then 10 days out from now, there's a really good chance coming in. But lots of decisions got to be made. Got to sit down and make your own decision. You know, you can ask around and listen to people and stuff, but every operation is different. And lots of questions going on hay buying. What's hay going to cost this year? I'm just going to give you an honest answer. You know, hay last year, $115 a ton for rye and wheat hay. Grass hay was anywhere from $100 to $140. Good alfalfa was anywhere from $175 up to $250 a ton. So, take in input cost and everything that's happened since a year ago this time. And I did write down on paper what I thought my wheat hay, what it cost to get it put up, and what I got in it. And honestly, it's not going to be cheap. We're not in the position, farmers and ranchers are not in the position right now to be taking hits for no reason at all. Just because a guy or people don't want to pay this much for hay, the hay is just better off to sit there in that farmer's pasture, you know, because really the only good hay being put up right now, mainly unless you're in an area that got some rain and got lucky, and I don't know where those areas are. So overall picture though, irrigated hay, electricity, has it gone up? No, but we've had to run it a lot more because of the drought. You go out there and dig a hole somewhere where there's not any irrigation, you'll see what I'm talking about. 3-4 foot deep, there's no sub-moisture. So you take in all the input costs, electricity, fertilizer being double, triple, fuel double, triple, equipment repairs at least double. Like I said, I got a wobble box on my swather that needs fixed. I usually find a good used one for around $1,000, $1,200. I can't even find a used one right now. And this is checking out all the tractor places in Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma. A new one, $3,700. You know how much hay I can buy with that wobble box if I can find the hay? So, all right, so I got to repair my $3,700 wobble box. I got to go custom cut some guys' hay. Hay was going for $18 to $20 an acre, $18 to $28 a bale for swathing and baling. And it honestly, if a guy's going to do it and do it right and keep his nose above water, it should be somewhere in the area of $30 an acre and $30 a bale. And here we go. I know somebody's going, well, that's, he's stupid. He don't know what he's talking about. Sit down and go buy your own swather and go buy your own baler. Go buy that $150,000 tractor that pulls that baler. A baler that cost, I went over some numbers the other day, a baler that cost $10,000 back in 1982 is a minimum $50,000, $60,000 today. Set a change for my swather or my baler the other day that I replaced. Last year was $175. This year's $300. Is there price gouging going on somewhere? Probably somewhere, because I know that chain was made last year, but they got a business to run. Their labor's gone up, fuel's gone up, delivery's gone up. It's just not a great situation out there right now. And we can point our finger and blame whoever we want, but that's not going to fix the problem. But back to the hay. I honestly think that good hay put up right, I'm talking about hay put up right, rye, wheat, whatever, $150 to $175, and it ought to really be at $200 a ton. And I know you guys are going, Jimmy, you're stupid. No, I'm not. I'm looking at what the input cost was for irrigated hay. I'm including electricity in there, the whole nine yards, fertilizer, the whole works. Bermuda grass, or any kind of grass hay, last year, $100 to $140 a ton. Really good Bermuda grass was bringing $140, and if you bought a big quantity, you'd probably get it cheaper. I'm talking just the average blowjo rancher and farmer buying hay right now. You can bet your bottom line this year that it's going to be somewhere around $200, if not higher, for Bermuda grass. I'm giving you guys my opinion because I'm not stupid to the fact of what the costs are out there. And irrigation's not cheap. Repairs on irrigation's not cheap. I got a well down right now, $7,000 to fix it. You think I'm going to make $7,000 worth of hay off that 25-acre alfalfa field there? Yeah, I probably will, but it all go towards fixing that water well pump. So, and then you got alfalfa. Alfalfa was, like I said, $160, $180, $200 a ton. Really good stuff, and have a volume buyer probably getting $225 to $250 a ton for it. Don't be surprised if alfalfa isn't $300 to $500 a ton this year, because this Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle is not only the people in a drought. And the irrigation out in the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma Panhandle, up into Kansas, they're struggling with their irrigation because the Ulaga is low and a lot of irrigation's not running. Look down here towards Altus, where we got all of these great cotton farmers down there. Lugard Lakes at 20%. And they're not going to irrigate. Did they get some rain the other day? Yeah, that'll get it planted. But what's going to keep it going if we don't get any more rain? Man, it's just, and I don't want to sound negative. I'm just being straightforward. It's real. It's what's going on in our area. And whether you're in Texas or Oklahoma or Kansas or whatever, this is real stuff going on. So be prepared in your decisions. Am I going to buy hay? Am I going to keep feeding these cows? Is my calf crop, is the cattle market going to be compensated? Is it going to go up enough to cover all the extra inputs you're going to put in? I'm pretty sure a lot of people learned a lot of valuable lessons back in 2011 when we had the drought of the century going on. And you can go by lessons learned there. If you did fine, great. But I have a lot of friends that's already fed up hay that they had in reserve for next winter. They've already fed it up. Now they got to restock at or get rid of their cattle and set on the sidelines, as the gentleman said on the show here a couple months ago. This might be the year. Just set on the sidelines, get stuff repaired. A buddy of mine, I was talking on the phone this morning. He said, I'm just going to let my pasture. He's already sold all of his cows. He's going to let his grass just calm down, grow. If we get any rain, what happens if he don't get any rain this summer, and then we don't get any rain till next spring? He's another year behind. He's just gonna let it rest. So anyway, it's a real dire situation we got going on out there, and lots of people to talk to. You know, farmers, everybody says farmers and ranchers are some of the toughest people in the world. Yeah, they are, but I know they got feelings. I know some of them. So, we need some hope. We need some rain. So we got stuff to going on, and we just got to bear with it. So, well, when I come back, I'll have some better stories for you about some cattle and farm news coming up. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April 29th. 1,373 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 214 brought 450. 11 at 410 brought 216. 7 at 444 brought 197. 6 at 533 brought 186. 4 at 688 brought 149.50. 5 head of heifers at 312 brought 166. 9 at 446 brought 158.50. 4 at 503 brought 162. 5 at 653 brought 152.50. 12 at 689 brought 144. Butcher cows were 69 to 114.50. Butcher bulls brought 71 to 120. Bred cows were 650 to 1410. Pairs brought 400 to 1600. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat. or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
74 degrees, southeast wind 7 miles an hour, gust up to 12, humidity is 38. Let me see if that's updated correctly. Yep, it's all right. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up to you right after this deal. Well, I'm going to add on to what I was just talking about last segment. There's been some really good points talking about it, and I apologize. I cover what I know, and we'll see. This person text in, it's just not cattle people and just not cattle people who are getting worried. I know I'm fighting a battle with my horses. True fact. People with horses, same thing. And people with goats and sheep, same thing. You know, they're goats and sheep will eat a lot of things cattle and horses won't for sure. But first, there's got to be something there to eat. So, and then, what is this here? Okay, hey, this is a little bit of great news here from the Roger Mills County Fire Association. They have 200 tickets left, and the drawing is coming up on the 13th, which I think is next Friday. Let me double check that. You know me, I don't like putting out fake news unless I want to. Yes, next Friday. Live drawing. I don't think we've got it down a week from today. Live drawing. There's 200 tickets left. I don't have any left. I have some set aside for a person from Woodward to call the other day. And it'd be great. The output, it's just great. You guys, Strong City just now tore up a transmission on a big truck. They just spent over $15,000 to fix it. I mean, it's just no end in sight for these guys. Believe me, I still go to bat for all you fire departments, whether you're full-time, volunteer. Mainly you think about 90% or 95% of our fire departments in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle are volunteer, and they do a wonderful job, so we will do. So the Roger Mills raffle, where you got the beef, half a beef, certified Angus beef, donated by Price Farms here in Elk City, and it's already processed, sitting over there in the freezer. I don't know whether it's bone in or bone out on the T-bone, so I was just having that conversation with somebody for the show, but what does it matter? It's going to be a great beef. It's going to be a great beef. Got a Colt AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, Browning Silver 12-gauge shotgun, a Weatherby 308 Winchester rifle, also a gift certificate. Great raffle. So there's 200 tickets left, and you can get a hold of a fireman in Roger Mills County. They got all the tickets. What it called? Cheyenne, Strong City, Sweetwater, Leedy, Berlin, Crawford. Who else am I missing? Raiden. Yeah, Raiden. Anyway, I know I missed one in there somewhere. Call one of your favorite local firemen, volunteer firemen, and hopefully they got some tickets. I heard we got They might have some tickets at Pack Saddle. And after I get through pulling cedars on the heifers and going and getting the bulls, if somebody wants to stop by and pick me up, we'll go up to Pack Saddle Bar and we'll see if they got any. If not, we'll have some calf fries and a cold beer before we come home. Just a good excuse to go get some calf fries up there. Anyway, today, 5 to 8, Canute, Oklahoma, Canute Fire Department Station, their big fish fry. If you've never been to the Canute Fish Fry, you've been missing out. It's great. It's catfish. They got all things going on. No cover charge. It's by donation only. If you don't have but $5 left after you put $100 worth of gas in your car to go over there, then they'll take the $5. Anyway, but if you got $100 left after you get over there and you want to donate it, I'm sure they will accept that too. We have one more text here that, let me see here. I missed your answer. What is custom swathing and baling going for this year? Not sure. I think I've heard anywhere from $20 to $22 an acre. And I said that it should be around $30. And I know there's some farmers out there that do or have to contract their baling and swather, and they're custom me right now. But I'm just, honestly, I'm just throwing a number out there where it should be if somebody's going to make a decent living at doing it for a living. So anyway, and I quit custom swathing and baling about 4 years ago because some of those places I didn't want to get into the running my equipment across stuff that was only making a half a bale to three quarters of a bale because it didn't pay. You don't make any money swathing hay. That's all there is to it. Where you make your money is baling. And we need to, you know, so when you start chasing a half a bale to the acre, it just don't work out. I just quit doing it. I do mine. And I help my best friends, the Ripitoes, out, and I do my landlord, Bruce's, grass. And no matter if it makes quarter of a bale or two bales an acre, they're my friends, and they would do the same for me. So that's where I'm at on that deal. Tickets are $10 a ticket, and they come in books of 10 if you got $100 bills. And so anyway, they only got 200 tickets left. That's not very many. That raffle was one of the best raffles I've ever seen in my life for a 3-week period. It's going to be 3 weeks next Friday for all those tickets to sell and be gone. And man, it just shows the sincerity of everybody's heart in helping these fire departments out. So anyway, fish fry. I know there's something else going on with one of the fire departments, and I'll have to check it out during my break and figure it out. But there's something else going on. But support your local volunteer fire departments and go from there. All right, where do we want to go? Let's go to beef. Let's go to export values. They set another record. I think that's 2 or 3 months in a row. Not sure, but I know they set. The demand for U.S. beef continues on a record-setting pace in 2022. And this is one of the reasons, I'll finish this article up here in a second, the reason why everybody's wondering, how can these slaughter cows and bulls stay so high for so long? This is the reason. Demand. Demand is up tremendously. March beef exports total 126,285 metric tons in March. That's up 1% from last year and the third largest on record. Value for U.S. beef exports reached a record $1.07 billion and up 33%. Even pork exports were the largest this year, but well below the record large total posted in March of 2021, according to the data released by the United States Department of Agriculture and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Beef exports increased 6% during the first quarter of 2022 to 353,852 metric tons. Values are at just over $3 billion, and that's up 41%. Global demand, here's the big word, global demand for U.S. beef has eclipsed anything I've seen in many years in the meat business. While this momentum is fueled by mainstay markets such as South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan, demand is also very strong in China, Hong Kong, and key Latin American markets, while exports to the Middle East have rebounded very impressively. Consumers throughout the world have shown how much the value, the quality of U.S. beef, but disposable income is under increasing pressure as they pay more for energy and other daily needs. Despite beef's torrent pace, Hallstrom said the first quarter results do not fully reflect the impact of recent COVID-19 lockdowns in China that have slowed product movement and forced many restaurants to suspend or limit service. These obstacles are likely to have a greater impact on April and May export data. He also noticed that while beef demand has been very resilient, inflation represents a potential headwind. Pork exports in March were 222,581 metric tons, the largest since November, but nearly 25% below the record volume achieved a year ago last month. Export value was at $615 million. That's the highest since November, but down 23% year over year. While beef exports were down significantly from last year's record, we saw some encouraging trends in the March results. U.S. pork commanded a higher price per pound than a year ago, with outstanding demand from Mexico and value growth in key markets such as South Korea and the Dominican Republic. And keep in mind, in the Dominican Republic, they had a big swine flu outbreak there, and they destroyed a lot of their swine in that country. The stronger U.S. dollars create more price pressure in some destinations, but this will be offset to some degree by the narrowing price gap between U.S. and European pork. So, good news. Is it reflecting at the market? You know, it kind of is. I mean, the last time we had major drought in all the United States, you could go in there and buy slaughter cows and bulls for 35, 45, 55 cents, and it's hanging tough in there from anywhere 50 cents to a dollar a pound for cows and for slaughter cows. And then on the bull side, I can't even remember the last time I seen any bulls bring below 90, a good bull bring below 90 cents this year. So it's holding strong. And our calf market, I'm getting ready after the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, I'm getting ready to give you the sales results from Woodward yesterday, and it was really good, and I can't wait to see what happens at Elk City today. They're in the middle of their auction right now. Don't forget, Hollis, Oklahoma, tomorrow, Hollis Sale Barn's having their sale. And then Monday, Clinton, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be having theirs there east of Clinton. And Tuesday, back to Woodward for their cow and bull sale. Wednesday, Hobart Stockyards. Man, we got it going on in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. We know where to take our cattle, and I just named them all off. Well, when we get back, I have the forecast for you. So, Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, May the 3rd, we sold 750 cow bulls and calves. Thursday, May the 5th, we sold 3,350 calves and feeders for a total of 4,100 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better cows bring 77 to 83. 10 cows bring 50 to 74.5. Bulls bring 60 to 110.50. 2 to 8-year-old bred cows, 835 to 1335. Older bred cows, 860 with their 2 to 4-year-old pairs, 1285 to 1750. 5 to 8-year-old pairs, 1210 to 1525. And our 9 and older pairs, 1,000 up to 1400. On our steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, 207 to 237, 4 to 450, 191 to 212.50, 5 to 550, 182 to 191.50, 6 to 650, 155 to 180.5, 7 to 750, 156 to 161, 8 to 850, 145 to 154.60, 9 to 950, 140.75 to 147.5, and 1,000 to 1,050 pound steers, 130 to 136.75, 10 steers weighing 11 away frame, 131.5. On our heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 181 to 218, 4 to 450, 152 to 179, 5 to 550, 161 to 165.50, 6 to 650, 132 to 155, 7 to 750, 146.5 to 150.50, 8 to 850, 136 to 147, and our 9 to 950 heifers, 136 to 137, 1,000 to 1,050 pound heifers, 102 to 119.50. Very good market. We have 14 feeder buyers there every Thursday. We have several packer buyers there. They do not buddy up. I stay in the ring start to finish to make sure we can get the most we can, whether you run one head or 1,000. Very aggressive market. We sold 3,350 kids and feeders. Finished the sale at 2:30 p.m. For this Tuesday, May the 10th, we will have 30 bred cows and pairs. We've got another 30 bred cows running 8 more by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp, Thanksgiving Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
So, how was you guys' Cinco de Mayo celebration yesterday? Everybody get through it okay? Lots of tacos and cervezas, the whole nine yards. It was good. Anyway, I want to wish my youngest daughter, Lydia, Michelle Clark Simmons. She lives in Cottonwood, Kansas. She works at the school cafeteria. Her and her husband own the only liquor store in the county. And she's also the mayor of Cottonwood. So she's very high up in that county. So anyway, but happy birthday. You're always my baby. So, but anyway, happy birthday, Lydia. And I wish you a great one. She'll be, see, what is she today? 37 years old. And check that out. There it goes. It updates. 74 degrees, humidity 38, winds out of the east southeast, 6 miles an hour. Today, high, sunny, 81. Enjoy today. No wind. I mean, it's beautiful out there. Tonight, mostly clear, 53 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny, 91. Winds won't be too bad, 7 to 18 miles an hour out of the south-southeast, kind of like today, but a little gustier. Tomorrow night, the winds start picking up. Sunday, 100 degrees. Not good. And the wind's going to be howling out of the southwest. You know if it was going to heat up, those winds are going to come out of the south-southwest. It's going to be breezy. So get ready for Sunday and Mother's Day. Before I continue, so I remember. I get really on one track here and I forget what I'm doing. Anyway, happy Mother's Day to all you beautiful mothers out there, whether you're the real mom or the stepmom, but you are, you women are the most awesome people in the world. You mothers, I love you all. So anyway, happy Mother's Day from me. Monday, breezy, 99. Tuesday, hot. 99. I guess we're gonna skip the last part of. I think we skipped the last part of spring last year also, and you know it's just like my buddy Kent from SEI Agritech just texted me. He said, "You're right. Keep your head up. It will change. Remember, we got 10 inches of rain last July," and he's right. We did. We got, you know, we went through the drought during the spring. We got that one rain that made all the wheat crops just be wonderful, and then the rye crops too. And it was great. And but it didn't rain for a long time. And then all of a sudden, in our non-rainy season, here it came. June, July, August just started raining. And we didn't think there was no end to a wonderful world we lived. Got our wheat in, rye in, got our crops out, quit raining. And we just, hey, it's farming and ranching. Let's keep it going. Well, let's see, how much time we got here? We got that going on. Oh, I'm finished the weather. I always finish with the weather. But, you know, it's going to be hot all next week. I seen a different forecast on TV where they were calling for 101 tomorrow, 103 Sunday, and 105 Monday. So just keep that in mind. It doesn't matter whether it's 100, 99. When it gets above 95, I think it's just hot. So check your waters. Got cattle underwater. Check your water every day while it's hot. Don't do that to your cows. Be cool about it. I found this article that made me think of Bill Dance. I don't know where it went, but before I get to that, we got to do the Woodward deal. Talking about Woodward, yesterday they had 3,350 head up there, and I just want to tell you, the market's still strong. I'm looking at it right here. 377-pound steers, 219. 428-pound steers, 206.42. 435, 193. 530-pounders, 191.50. 566, 187. 700-pounders, 161. 878, 149.50. 1,020-pound steers, 136.75. That's pretty good. And heifers, you know, heifers are always lower, and especially when they get bigger and get over 500 pounds, they take a sharp drop off. This looks great. 314 pounders, 218, 366, 194, 424, 179. They were going anywhere from 172 to 179 in the 400 pound range. 500 pounders, 165 to 172. 600 pounders anywhere in there from let's see here, 144 up to 157 on the 600 pounders. 700 pounders, $150 per hundredweight. 850, 140, 131 to 147. 900 pounders, 137. 1070 pounders, 102. 1029 pounders, 119.50. So there you go. I got an interesting message on Messenger a while ago. As you guys heard me yesterday talking about over the Western Oklahoma Votech at Burns Flat, they did a project for a fundraiser in their greenhouse and raised all these tomatoes and all this stuff. And my wife had shown me this article, so I read it on my show yesterday. And here, I want to read to you what he says. Greg Weddle, I hope I said that right, Weddle, anyway, I'm the service careers instructor at Western Tech Center in Burns Flat. This year we had a class fundraiser, which we sold tomato and pepper plants that we grew in our greenhouse. I recently had a customer purchase some plants, and he told me he heard you mention it on your radio show. If that was true, we really appreciate it very much. Also, if it's possible, I would like to maybe next year be able to have you do this again for me. Let it me know. Thanks. And I told him, you're welcome. And that was true. And do you have any left? There. I'm going to help him out again. Because I seen what the brands of tomatoes he had, and they're really good. Celebrities, Rummels, some champions, or early girls in there. Anyway, they still have 75 tomato plants and 50 pepper plants left, and they were making a deal on them. So if you get a chance, just call over to Votech, tell them to get you over to the service careers instructor. Greg's his name. Weddle, I don't know how to say that. Wendell, maybe it's Wendell, I doubt. Anyway, it's Greg. Call Greg, and they got some tomato plants. I think they was selling them off and trying to get rid of them for $1 a piece. You're not going to find that deal anywhere. So anyway, give them a call over there. Help them out. It's a fundraiser for their class. Improve. I got to find. Oh, here we go. Understanding how to maintain a perfect pawn. I thought of Brian Silk, a.k.a. Bill Dance. The pawn owner, because some of the people have been getting water in their pond, so don't be mad at me if you don't have water in your pond yet, but it's coming, I promise you. The pond's owner's nightmare goes something like this. Ropey algae that refuses to go away, water levels that refuse to rise, and a mess of dead fish. And it makes it look as though somebody dropped a bomb in your pond. A pond is a living ecosystem, says Eric Norland, an extension specialist in pond management at Ohio State University. There's no single right way to manage a pond, and there's no one wrong way. The key, says Norland, is to decide what you want out of a pond and how to get it. If repairing that snagging outbuilding or building a patio is taking up all your time, it's perfectly okay. Just let the pond go and let it do whatever it wants. Yes, you probably get a lot of algae and pond weeds, and any fish that survive won't be particularly desirable to eat, but it will be a very natural pond. At the other end of the spectrum is the highly managed pond with clear water, a perfect balanced fish population, and an abundance of other wildlife. However, Norland warns, anyone who wants crystal clear water should invest in some concrete for an in-ground pool. Pond water will always have a greenish cast, and it's part of being a healthy pond. Maintain the banks. Keep grass in those areas where it won't be washing mud in there, and you won't have those muddy areas. But make sure that grass is very good. And Bermuda grass works really well around here, and so does blue stem if it's thick enough to prevent erosion. Erosion is what makes your ponds muddy. Also, cattle should not be allowed to access because they run bank slopes and nearby sod, and they're wasting all that deal. But the one thing that I got a kick out of when I thought about Bill Dance was create an underwater shelter. They said you can use cut-up tires and cut them in half and throw them out there in the water, and it won't contaminate your water for fish habitat. I could see, when I seen that, I pictured Bill Dance, a.k.a. Brian Silk, hooking on to one of those half parts of a tire with his ultra thin fishing rods that he uses because he acts like he's catching a big one and it only weighs 4 ounces. I could see him snagging on that, fooling his grandkids that he had the biggest fish ever caught in Oklahoma. I can imagine Brian Silk doing that, snagging on to a tire, and those kids go running somewhere and tell, and then come back, oh, he got off when he unhooked that tire from there. But I was thinking about that when I seen that picture. But brush piles, evergreens, all kinds of stuff work great in those ponds. So just wildlife, you attract wildlife when you got great ponds and stuff. I know we need rain, so we'll get it and get a pond filler. But ever need to know how, get on Ohio State University's ag site. And this guy is really sharp on different kinds of methods to manage your pond. So anyway, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers this Sunday. Enjoy your weekend. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.